say you're glory. We say you're glory. We say you're glory. Reveal.
Reveal your glory. Reveal your glory.
We reach for you and we thank you, Jesus. We feel you. We feel you. We feel you. We feel you. We feel you.
She realized she was really praying. She was really asking God to manifest himself. We ought to be asking God to manifest himself in a way that we can understand. She said, reveal your glory. She said, more of you, Lord. We ought to always want more of God and less of us. She said all of that. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, that, you know, one day I'm going to teach on how to entertain the Holy Spirit, because a lot of us are not understanding that we need to invite God's Spirit into our presence. We need to entertain the Spirit of God. And if you don't know how to do it, I want to teach you how to allow God to manifest to you. Sometimes we're so busy. Sometimes we're in such a hurry. We like foot stomping. We like hand clapping. I love it. But there is a time when we need to entertain the Holy Spirit, when we need to be quiet and receive from the Holy Spirit and allow him to minister to us. She said, reveal yourself, O Lord. She said, let your glory fall in this place, O Lord. We can have that right in our own living room or bedroom or kitchen, wherever you are. We have to learn how to do that. And so I'm going to do some teaching on that. But this morning, I'm going to teach on inner healing. And we talked about physical healing already because we got people with different kinds of physical things going on. But we're going to talk about this inner healing that helps us to understand that a lot of us are bruised. We're bruised and we're battered and we've gone through some stuff and we never got a healing from whatever happened to us. We've been walking around carrying all that stuff. And so, you know, we need to be healed on the inside. We can't see inside of ourselves, but God can. And he's seeing that we have all of these bumps and bruises and never dealt with them because it's too painful and we don't want to deal with that stuff. And so we just push it aside. But it's there and it's interfering with our relationship with God. It's interfering with us going forward with what God has planned for us. Some of us have been able to overcome some of those things, and we're doing okay, we think. But boy, if you touch that sore spot. You know, when I was a kid, I was a tomboy. That's what they call us girls who act. Climb trees and do all that stuff. And I didn't have any sisters. I had brothers. And so they were younger than I, but, you know, I was a tough girl. Still a tough girl, but I'm tough with Jesus right now. But it's all right, Sidney. Go ahead and laugh. I laugh too. But, you know, I would skin my knees, and my knees still show those scars. I would skin my knees and, you know, all of that. And sometimes that place that I rub the skin off of, you know, when you do that, it will develop what we call a scab. And that's that fluid that comes out of your body when you rub the top layer of skin off, and it forms a hard crust to protect that wound. And so I would get those. And sometimes, because I didn't ask my mother to put some peroxide on it, because that's a cleaner. Peroxide will clean a wound. Alcohol will too, but alcohol stings. And in my day, they had something called iodine, and you sure didn't want that. So you let that crust form on there, and you bump that place, and ooh, the stuff would come out because it wasn't healed on the inside. It looked like it was healed on the outside, but it wasn't healed on the inside. And so we're walking around like that, a lot of us, y'all. And it's no shame in that because we are protect ourselves the way we know to protect ourselves. And it's not healing all the time. It's just covering up that wound and letting that stuff fester on the inside of it until it becomes obvious on the outside. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And we're probably going to talk about this for a couple of weeks. And the reason I'm talking about this is because we come, most of us, come with a history of trying to heal ourselves inside. And we've done that with drugs and alcohol. And we need to learn that there's a better way. We are clean and sober right now, most of us. And if we're not, we're trying to get there. But we want to do the spiritual healing that God can do on the inside of us to help us with this process. And so my teaching this morning is going to include some scripture, but I'm going to give you the scripture at the end. So it may sound like I'm not using scripture, but I am. But I want to talk about this. And God just really impressed upon me that I need to do that. Because, you know, in our walk with the Lord, we want to grow. We don't want to get stagnant. We don't want to get stuck. we want to grow. And some of us have moved forward in a lot of ways, but we're not healed on the inside. We still got some issues. That's what we call it. We got some issues. So we're going to talk about how to help get rid of these issues this morning. And I thank the Lord that he has given me the opportunity to be trained in his word. But I am a counselor, and I was a counselor before I was a pastor and a minister. And so when I went for my ministerial training, pastoral training, it turned out to be because God was calling me to be a pastor and not an evangelist. I wanted to be an evangelist because I thought that was the safer way to go for a female in this male-dominated profession of ministry, they think. And so I wanted to be an evangelist, but God has always kept me in a place of counseling, even in my nursing career. It was counseling. There was counseling how to take care of your health. And so I've always been used for that. And of course, the intercessory prayer calling helped that. And so he just kept me in a place of offering support and encouragement. And so when I finally accepted that, I have been able to, he has been able to use me. And some of you know that I do one-on-one pastoral care with the inmates in San Mateo County Jail. And I offer that service as a part of my volunteer work, as I'm a volunteer chaplain. And I meet one-on-one with those inmates, both males and females. And many of them need the inner healing. And if they trust me enough, they will allow me in to know their secrets. So enough of that history. I just want to kind of let's get started. And we may not finish today, but we're fine. So, Lord, I'm praying this prayer that Vicki already prayed. I want you to manifest yourself as I offer these encouraging words this morning. I want you to reveal your glory. And, Father God, we want more of you. That's what we want. I want more of you. And I want the members of Bread of Life to have more of you. And we just want to be able to do what Donnie McClurkin sang this morning. We need to be able to stand. And so we need an inner healing, Lord. We've got bruises and bumps and places where we're infected, and we need your help to get rid of those things so that we can be obedient to you, so that we can follow you and allow you to use us as you will. We thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so with that said, you know, inner healing begins with honesty. And so you come to a point in your journey where you become honest with yourself about the pain that you experienced, the pain you may have caused, and how it has affected you. So you also start inner healing by accepting the fact that you need inner healing and that you cannot do it alone. So inner healing is a choice that you have to make and stay committed to it. And you'll have times before you become tired mentally. You will have times where you become tired mentally and emotionally. You're just exhausted and fearful of what's on the other side. So beginning here, I want to encourage you that you can do this. It is possible, and it could start today. So we're going to see. So some things you must realize and be able to do is, number one, inner healing is a realization that you are broken. And you know, we did a series on brokenness a while back. All of us are broken. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ broken. And that song that says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. In him I found a resting place, and he has made me glad. So we all come to Jesus Christ broken. A realization that only God can help you to truly heal, and that you cannot do it alone. You know, we can we do that thing, I can do it myself. And I always tell the story about Dijon, who is now an adult. But when he was a little boy, he had this book by Elmo. And the book cover said, I can do it myself. And Elmo had his shoes on the wrong foot. He had his clothes on backwards. He was a mess, but he could do it himself. And so we are like Elmo a lot of the time. We can do it ourselves, and we can't do anything ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so the journey that we're going to take, we're going to start with prayer for inner healing of ministries, or a prayer for inner healing of emotional healing. And we ask God to heal us today. I'm saying us because it's not just you that probably needs some inner healing, but me. You see, whatever God gives us to minister to you, we need it too. So don't think that I'm sitting here judging you, because I'm not, because I may need some of this for myself, you see, and I may get some revelation knowledge, just as I hope you will from this teaching. So we ask God to heal us from the inside out. That's what we're asking him this morning. And we need to gain knowledge in the areas where we have been wounded. Sometimes, all the time, our mind, God, it made us, he so marvelously made us. That's what you find in Psalms 139, that we are wondrously and marvelously made. And because of that, we can absorb information and put it in our memory bank and leave it there. We don't have to remember it. If it's too painful, we don't have to remember it. If it makes us angry, we don't have to remember it. And so sometimes we put these hurts that happened to us, we put them in the memory bank because it's too painful to deal with. And so today we're going to, we need to gain knowledge on the area where we have been wounded. We need to look into our background and childhood, look into all the relationships you have had over the years. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and help us to pinpoint any areas where we may need inner healing. God, show us where we need inner healing. That's what Vicky, the woman that was singing that song, she said, reveal yourself. She said, you know, manifest yourself. And as he does that, we can then put the spotlight on those places where we need inner healing. And we can do it in a safe way. You see, many of us don't need to go and see someone like Dr. Carson because she is a marriage and family therapist. Some of us need to go there. But we, you know, the famous saying, we are not crazy. You are right. We are not crazy. But we may need help. And so sometimes we need to go see someone to help us tap in to those areas and help us shine the light on those areas. But you know, God is a wonderful therapist. He's a wonderful therapist. And he sent Jesus to die for us and shed his blood for us so that we could have the opportunity to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus in the Gospel of John, he said that he was going to send us another comforter and that he would guide us into all truth and that he would show us things to come. And we can depend on the Holy Spirit to get us started in the process, get us started in the process of getting that inner healing that we need. So we ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside us this morning and help us pinpoint any areas where we may need inner healing. And that this will help guide us as an additional inner healing prayer. We need to ask the Holy Spirit in. We need to invite the Holy Spirit in. We need to do that because we need help. Now, some of you all are thinking right now, she's meddling. I don't want any help. I want to leave that stuff alone because it hurts and I don't want to think about it and I don't want to deal with it. Well, that's your choice if you so choose. But I want to share the information and share the word with you just in case later on you decide you want to get free of some stuff. You see, when the sun sets free, is free indeed. But many of us aren't free because we don't want to deal with that painful stuff. But if you ask God to help you through, he will definitely help you through. He will take you back and show you where you need to get healed. And then he will heal that area of your life. He will heal that so you can be free of that. You know, when I was at Jubilee, which formerly had been a Faith Christian Fellowship Church in San Jose, and that was before I attended Rhema Bible Training College and all of that, I went there as a prayer warrior. God had called me to the ministry of intercession, and I need to explain that. Everybody can intercede, but God has people that he calls to that ministry. And he called me to that ministry, and I was able to be used in that way. And so when he called me to that ministry, Lord have mercy, I lost my page, but I can tell you what I want to tell you. When he called me to that ministry, he had to teach me about it because I didn't really understand at first what was going on with me. And so he had to teach me about intercessory prayer. So when he started teaching me, he sent me to a place where people understood about intercessory prayer, and that was to this church called Faith Christian Fellowship that was meeting in the YMCA in Cupertino at the time, and then we moved over into Sunnyvale area, and then by that time, God had sent me to call me to go to Bible college. But anyway, what I want to tell you about intercessory prayer is that God will use you to pray for others. That's what intercessory prayer is about. Intercessory prayer is not about praying for yourself. It's about praying for others. But, you know, God can show you what you need, too. So anyway, we were praying one morning at the church before service, and I'm praying with some people who really were well-versed in intercessory prayer, Sandy and George. They were a couple, and the pastor had appointed them to the intercessory prayer ministry as well as to the altar counseling ministry. So I was doing both, and so I had contact with them. And one morning we were praying, And the gentleman's name was George, and his wife was named Sandy, and she could cast out a demon out of a brick wall. So anyway, we're praying, and George said, you know, I'm looking in the spirit, and we all have these things hanging on us. We have these things hanging on us in the spirit, and we need to ask God to help us get rid of them. And so I'm using that example because maybe then we can really understand that we have these things in the spirit, and they're hanging on us, and they're hindering us, and they're painful to remove, but if we allow God to do the surgery, we'll be okay, and we'll be able to go forward. So we need to understand that, you know, there are a lot of resources that you can get on in the healing. And, you know, devotionals and all of that, we can use that. But we need to ask God to help us, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and help us to pinpoint any areas where we have things hanging on us that need to come off. And I'll tell you another story about me. My brother, next to me, and some of you have heard this before, his name was Paul, and he called me and said, I'm going to Trinidad. Well, he had been married to a woman who was from Trinidad, and actually, the only child he has, that was his mother, and his name is Charles, and he lives down in Southern California now. So he said, my brother Paul said, I'm going to Trinidad, and he said, I want you to pray for me. Well, my brother Paul had been angry with the Lord, because he had his several marriages, and the marriage he had before the woman from Trinidad, her father was a minister. And he was a pastor, and under his leadership, my brother had become a deacon. He was ordained as a deacon, and he was really connected to the Lord. And then he found out some bad information about that pastor, that he had some bad habits. And because he was a immature Christian, he let it drive him away from God. And so we have to be careful with that. Sometimes that's how we think we should handle that kind of situation. We get mad at God instead of getting mad at that person who needs to ask forgiveness from God. And so he left the church and he was angry. And so this woman that he was married to, it was her father, and they split up. And after that, there was no more interest for him in being a Christian. And so as a result, he was also, he had already had a problem with alcohol, but it became greater, and he became what we call an alcoholic. And so as a result, my brother said to me, he's going to Trinidad to Carnival. It's like that thing that they have in New Orleans. So he's going to Carnival, and he will be there with his sister-in-law who lived in Trinidad on the island. And so I asked him if I could pray for him. And he said yes. He let me pray for him that day. And I prayed for his trip. Well, I didn't realize that that was going to be the last time I had contact with my brother. But my brother's intent was to go to Trinidad and drink himself to death. And he did just that. So when I received a phone call, I was happened to be at my job. I was working for San Mateo County Human Services Agency. And we were doing overtime. My daughter called me at work that afternoon. And she said, Mom, Fax is on the line from Trinidad, and she needs to tell you something. Well, my heart just kind of jumped because I knew then it was a problem. And what she told me was, is that my brother had died the day before, which was a Sunday. That was on a Sunday. Let me tell you that God never leaves you blind about anything if you want to know. If you desire him to keep you posted about your loved ones, about your business, whatever it is, he will do that for you. On that Sunday, we were having service then at Free at Last when it was on University Avenue in that old raggedy building. And I had left service and because I was still working a full-time job on Sunday afternoons, I would get lunch or eat, and then I would take a nap because I had to go to work that Monday morning. And so that Sunday, I had taken a nap, and I had a dream. It was a very real dream. When I woke up from that dream, I actually tried to contact my sister-in-law because in that dream, I saw my brother. But in my mind, I saw my son, but in my mind, I knew it was my brother because I have lost one of my children as an adult. He passed away. And so I'm looking, and he said to me, "Oh, I am so sick." And I said, "Oh my God, what is the matter?" He said, "I'm just sick." And he was in a dark room, the shades were pulled. And when that happened, then I just woke up suddenly. And I woke up and it was so real to me that I grabbed the phone and I tried to call my sister-in-law, Glenna May, to ask her how to call Trinidad. Well, I couldn't get her, and I wasn't able to do it. So then I just prayed. I said, "Lord, whatever's going on with my brother, please help me." And so the next day, of course, I found out that he was leaving here then. That's what was going on. And so I had resentments about the fact that I was not allowed to bring my brother's body home for my family. You see, I am the matriarch of my family. I'm the oldest child, and right now, I am the only one still living of the three of us. But at that time, my brother, youngest brother, was still alive. But I am the matriarch of my family. And so I felt that my family needed closure from the loss of their loved one, and I wanted his body to come back here to the United States so they could have an opportunity to have that contact that we use at funeral and memorial services to start the healing process, to start the grieving process. And so this woman that my brother had been living with he said he wanted to be cremated there. But we don't know what he said, because that was not what he told me on the phone. He didn't tell me he was going there to die. But he did let me pray for him, and that was not discussed. So anyway, I had a real problem with that woman. And my sister-in-law, her sister tried to make it like, "Oh, well, it's just okay." No, it's not just okay. So I had some ill feelings, some problems with that woman. And so then it went on for months. And my nephew, my brother's son, was at my house. My son Chris was at my house. And Charles said, his wife called and he said, "I want to invite you and Uncle Chris to come. This woman," he called her name, "is in town and she wants us to go to dinner." And so I looked at him and I said, "Oh, no, thank you. I don't care to do that." And so my son Chris said the same. Well, after he left, my nephew left, my son Chris began to talk about the situation, and I let him have it. I let him have it with both barrels, because you see, I had a lot of inner problems about that woman and how she cheated us out of the opportunity to have closure around my brother's death. And so when I knew anything, I flew off the handle. I said to my brother, so-and-so, I don't cuss, but I certainly can say some ugly stuff I know how to articulate ugly stuff because I used to do it real good before God got a hold of my tongue. And so I did get upset, and my brother just sat there and looked at me like, I don't believe this is happening. The good reverend has just lost her mind. And so that was that way of me releasing that inner anger for that particular individual. And some of us can connect with that this morning. I'm not going to be able to finish this today, but I wanted to get it started. But I want to give you some scriptures to go along with what I've been talking to you about. I want to give you some scriptures today, and then the next time I bring the word, we will finish this or continue it. For some of you right now, it may feel very uncomfortable. It might be uncomfortable like a new pair of shoes. I don't know about you men, but when we women get a new pair of shoes, especially if we wear high heels, which I used to love, can't do it anymore. But right now, that's the last thing I want to see with these knees of mine. But, you know, you have to break them in. That's what we call it. We have to break in those new shoes. Expensive shoes. We paid a lot of money for them, but Lord Jesus, they don't feel too comfortable. So I know this may not feel comfortable to some of y'all. And I know you say, I don't know why she's telling me this morning, because I don't want to hear it. And I don't know why she don't just teach us the Bible and leave this alone. But I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor that wants my congregation to be free. I want you to be free to let God use you. And you got these things hanging on you, like George told us in prayer that morning, and we need to get them off. So there, you come back next time and say, I love the pastor. I used to do that a lot at Bread of Life. And one of my members, she's not my member anymore, but she's certainly my spiritual daughter. She said, I just hated when you said, now say, I love the pastor. So I want y'all this morning to say, I love the pastor. I don't care how
upset. I love the pastor.
I don't care how upset you are with me right now.
I love the pastor.
That's right. You got to love me. That's what
I love the pastor.
That little, oh my God, dinosaur. Y'all too young over that. They had a little program on about a dinosaur family. And the little baby dinosaur, he was bad. He did all kinds of ugly stuff to his daddy. He hit him in the head with a pot and all of that. And so then he'd say to them, you gotta love me. You gotta love me. So y'all just gotta love me this morning. That's Let me give you some scripture that we're going to dismiss. I've given you enough to think about today that you didn't want to think about. So Psalms 34 and 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So that's number one. And then Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word. And he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then you can write down Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm going to give you two more, and then we're going to stop. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast, Zion, from whom no one hears. Malachi 4:2. You know, Malachi is a minor prophet, and we always talk about Malachi chapter 3, where it talks about bringing the tithes into the storehouse. But also Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." I have a great grandson whose name is Malachi, and I call him the prophet. And that's my granddaughter Alicia's baby. 3 John chapter 2. You know, 3 John, these are the little Johns we call them. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And it's verse 2, I'm sorry. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Psalms 126, verse 6. "He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves with him." I'm going to stop right there. I have a totally big testimony about Psalms 126, but we're not going to hear it this morning. And let's do 126:5 to go with that. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." So I'm going to stop right there. I have more scripture.
So what was John the 3rd?
3 John 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." So it's 3 John, verse 2.
Okay.
Anybody else need any information about these scriptures? I want you all to begin to meditate on these scriptures. I want you to read them. And I'll tell you how I want you to do it. This is something, an exercise that will help all of us. So I want to tell you how to do it. When you meditate on scripture, you say it out loud. Okay? And you say it more than once. You may say it a couple of times, 3 times, and then you stop and listen. Listen and allow God to speak to your heart, and listen to what you hear in your ear. Not his voice verbally, but maybe sometime we do hear his voice. But you will have some thoughts, some impressions, we call them. We need to learn how to meditate on scripture and listen when we ask God questions and ask to say his word. Listen and see what he brings before you. I'm really doing some training here, because, you know, it's one thing to be able to quote scripture, but what happens when you use that scripture? What does God say to you? What does he bring to mind? Because oftentimes that scripture turns into a prayer that you're praying and he's answering the prayer, but you don't hear the answer because you're too busy talking. So I'm doing some training here with this inner healing, because we need to listen to God's voice sometime. We need to hear what he says back to us when we say these things, you know. And some of us can do a real good sales job, but we need to learn how to listen. And so that's what I'm wanting us to do with this. So if you need inner healing, it's a realization that you are broken. I want us to remember that. And a realization that only God can help you to truly heal, and that you cannot do it alone. And I'm going to stop, because I'm not going to go over the whole teaching again. But this is where we're going to stop. And then next time, we will talk some more, because I'm not finished with this, because I want us to get the healing that we need. And some of us have been stuffing stuff for a long time. We've been stuffing it. We just say, okay, well, I just ignore that. And I'll just ignore this. And you know what? We need to do something about that stuff hanging on us. So that's what we need to do. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and then I'm going to have Reverend dismiss us. And we will take communion next Sunday. We're not stuck on first Sunday. We're not stuck on second Sunday. We're not stuck on third Sunday. We can take communion when the Lord says take communion. So, Lord Jesus, please come and heal our wounded and troubled hearts. I beg you to heal the torments that cause anxiety in my heart. I beg you in the particular way to heal all who are the cause of sin. I beg you to come into my life and heal me of my psychological harms. You know what? I want y'all to repeat this after me. So I'm going back and start, and you say what I say. Lord Jesus, please come and heal my wounded and troubled heart.
Lord Jesus, please heal my wounded and troubled heart.
I beg you to heal the torments that cause anxiety.
In my heart, in my heart, I beg you in a particular way to heal all who are the cause of sin. And heal me of psychological harms. Lord Jesus, you know my burdens. I lay them all on your good shepherd's heart. To heal the pain of my memories, and anguish, and depression, and emotional turmoil. I'm going to cut it short, and then next week we'll pray some more. Heal my Lord Jesus.
Heal my Lord Jesus.
Those intimate wounds that caused me, physical,
emotional,
and mental illness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. For answering my prayer. So there's more to that prayer, and we'll pray it next time, because I don't want to put you on overload. But we allow God to begin to minister to us from the inside out. And as we do that, we'll be able to do more for the Lord. We'll be able to have a deeper relationship with Him, because we won't have all that garbage interfering. Because we got stuff, y'all, and I say we too. And we got things hanging on us that we can't see, but God can sure see all that mess hanging on us. And we're going to get rid of some of that so God can really have our undivided attention to use us as He sees fit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's enough of that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Y'all say that.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
And the Lord is the strength of my life.
I thank you, Lord.
For peace. That passes all understanding.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn it over to you to dismiss us, and I want y'all to have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you. You too, Pastor. You too, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Right. Healing on the inside. Thank you for that, Pastor, because I know I need some healing on the inside. I know I ain't the only one. All that misbehaving, as we call it. What's that song? Ain't no misbehaving. Well, I done plenty of it. So I need some healing on the inside, because we talk about it a lot at Bread of Life, you know, because some of that outside pain come from that inside. Sometimes we be in pain because it's up here, you know, it's emotional, then it becomes physical. So we need to start some healing on the inside. So we needed that. But like you said in there also, Pastor, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened us. I was happy when I wore this shirt for a reason. And when you said that, I'm like, oh, I wore the right shirt this morning. Because we can. We can heal. Jesus is a healer. We can heal through Jesus Christ. And it needs to start on the inside. And so I'm waiting for the next time you preach so we can get some more of this, because we need to heal on the inside. We still thinking about that old stuff. You know, my uncle raised me, said I was the biggest dummy. Sometimes I look in the mirror when I do something bad, and I'm 61 years old, and I still look in the mirror and say, you big dummy, you just like your uncle said you was when you was a kid. So you have to get that stuff out of you. You're not dummy, Richard. You're not no drug addict no more. You're not no alcoholic no more. You're a blessed child of God. So you got to work on that inside and bring it out. Once you get some of that inside healing, when you get some of that inside healing, the outside will feel much better. Amen. Right. I can't preach no more, because we already heard the word. We already heard the word, and it's about healing on the inside. Amen. Yes. So, Father God, we just thank you. Father God, we thank you for the teaching that we just had, Father God, and we thank you for the teacher, Father God. And Father God, we want to just give you praise, honor, and glory this morning, Father God. We thank you for each and everyone here now and the ones that will listen later, Father God. We ask the hedge of protection over us, Lord. We ask the hedge of protection over our family members that are represented here, Lord. And Father God, we just know that you will be healing us, Father God, not only on the outside, but on the inside, Father God. So we just thank you for the healing in advance. We thank you for the healing in our bodies, Father God, as the enemy tries to attack our bodies when he can't attack our minds, Lord. So we know, Father God, that there you are with us, Father God, and that nothing that the enemy can do, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Father God. The enemy has no control over us, Father God, for you have defeated him. Long, long time ago, Father God. So we just want to thank you this morning, Father God, as we dismiss, Father God. We give you all praise, we give you all glory, and we give you all honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say amen.
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 Amen, amen, everybody. Y'all have a beautiful, blessed day.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody.
All right, everybody.
All right. Have a good one. Okay,
sweetheart, brother. Amen.